that in our praises, in our prayers. And we pray now, Lord, as we come to your word, help us to do that as we submit to your authority and we hear what you have to say and we respond to you. I pray for your help for myself and for each of us as we come to your word. Would you speak to our hearts, we pray. And we look to you and rely upon you for your help and enabling. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And just to mention that we've had a message from Dev to say that Caelan's been taken back into hospital. I think is it the ICU he's been taken in Leeds General Infirmary? And just remember to pray for them. We don't know the situation. Pastor Tony's not well today. He's been not well for the last couple of weeks, has he? He was speaking at the conference for the Global Cafe yesterday. I was at it and he was excellent. Obviously that finished him off, so he can't come today. Can I encourage you to come on Saturday to the Bradford Keswick, 7:30. It's a great privilege we have of having men of the calibre of Paul Mallard, who's greatly blessed, a good, great Bible teacher, he'll be a great minister to you. And even if you don't normally come out on a Saturday, this will be worth breaking your routine to come Saturday night, Monday and Tuesday, and Sunday night as well. And have your soul fed. Come and be spoken to, come and be encouraged with other Christians from across the city. So that's on Saturday. And it is good to have Bruce back. I don't care what you say, it really is. I'm really looking forward to working with Bruce, and I'll be meeting with him tomorrow. We'll be sharing things he'll be doing. He's going to certainly take up the reins of Real Hope Wednesday evenings and Friday mornings, and got other things, you know, we've got all sorts of things lined up, like cleaning the drains and going up on the roof and everything. But no, it's going to be good to have you back, and look forward to that. Next Sunday, it's Pentecost Sunday, and we have Majid and Anna coming. Majid and Anna Tinawi. Majid is from a Syrian background, a Muslim background. He miraculously came to know Jesus as his saviour, and they now work in Poland. Anna's from Poland, she's Polish, and they work among students, and he does a lot of wonderful scholarly work from a Muslim background in looking at commentaries, working out commentaries and translations and things like that. And next Sunday was the only time they could fit us in, as it were, in their itinerary, so I asked him to come, and they're going to share about their work and then link that with a message about Pentecost. So that's something to look forward to. Now, I think it's wonderful. We have friends from Muslim backgrounds. We have people from Hindu backgrounds coming into our services. I thought it was lovely was it 2 weeks ago, that Gulf was able to come, share about Halima, and thanking us for prayer. We might not have agreed with everything she said about praying to all to the same God and things like that, but there's a time to discuss that. But it was lovely she was able to come and just feel welcome. Thank you for making folks welcome. And, you know, this is the fruit of relationships, isn't it? Friendships. I was at a conference, can't remember now, it was about a week ago with Earnhardt, and about reaching out with the gospel. And this is a phrase that stood out to me, really helpful to me. The phrase was this: I am not your friend so that you will follow Christ, but I want you to follow Christ because I am your friend. And even if you don't follow Christ, I will still be your friend. And I think that's helpful. It just gets things into perspective. Our motivation is the love of Jesus. And because people are our friends and our neighbours, and because we love them, we want them to come to Christ, find the same Saviour. And I'm sure Majid and Anna will encourage us in that. So to come, pray about next Sunday morning as well. And let's look forward to that. Let's turn in our Bibles to Ephesians 5. If you have a Bible, or if you want to follow it in the church Bible, I'm going to read from verse 8. through to verse 21. Ephesians 5, verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, proving what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. This morning we're going to continue our short series looking at the person and work of the Holy Spirit. Last week we looked at the person of the Holy Spirit. We saw that he is a person and he's also God. And we looked at his life, his work in the life of the believer, and I've done those a sheet for you to take with you, which just covers the basic points of those things. It's in your came with your bulletin, because I realised that there was a lot to take in last week, and it's good, isn't it, to be reminded of these things. And that reminds us that the Holy Spirit brings us to Christ. He does the work. He draws us, he leads us, he regenerates us. He gives us the assurance of salvation and gives us that lovely witness of the Spirit within. He helps us to enjoy our relationship with God by filling us with the love of God. And then he enables us to witness. He gives us power beyond ourselves. He gives us strength to live for Jesus. He gives us power to overcome sin. And he helps us to become more like Christ. That's his sanctifying work. So those are the main points. Not comprehensive. There's lots of other things that the Holy Spirit does. But that's a summary. If you missed last week's message, I know it's a holiday time, last week particularly. And I just encourage you to go on the website and listen to it there. This morning we're going to continue to look at the Holy Spirit, and we're going to look at the filling of the Spirit. I had intended to look at an Old Testament picture, and I mentioned that last week, I think, but I've been led away from that to focus on this one text in the New Testament, Ephesians 5, verse 18, which must be the clearest instruction about the filling of the Holy Spirit there is in the Bible. Ephesians 5:18, which says, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, dissipation there means unrestrained behavior. If you like, unruly behavior. Another word would be riotous behavior. It's drunken behavior. That's what it's describing. Do not be drunk with wine, which leads, if you like, to unrestrained, unruly behavior, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, the first thing is obvious. To be filled with the Spirit is a command. It's not a nice, pleasant suggestion. of the Apostle Paul, you might suggest, you might consider being filled with the Spirit. It's a directive. It's an imperative. He's commanding us, be filled with the Spirit. And it's a command not just to certain ones. It's not just for certain special people, but it's to everyone. You can see that by the contrast that he makes with not being drunk, or comparison if you like, but it's in a negative way, with the first part where he says, do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Clearly the first part applies to everyone, doesn't it? He's not just saying young people don't get drunk. Or he's not just saying, if you're a missionary, don't get drunk. Or he's not just saying, make sure you're not drunk on Sundays. He's saying, that applies to everybody at all times. Don't get drunk. In a similar manner, everybody needs to be filled with the Spirit. Some people think that you only need to be filled with the Spirit on a Sunday. Or when you're doing a spiritual thing. Or it's only just for certain people, certain special people. But it's not. It's for everyone. Everyone is to be filled with the Spirit. It's a command. It's not an unusual experience. So whoever we are, if we know the Lord Jesus as our Saviour, whatever we're doing, wherever we are, if we're Christ at all, we need to be filled with the Spirit. That's the command. And it's for every moment of every day. And that's brought out by the tense of the verb, to be filled. It could literally be translated, be filled with the Spirit now and keep on being filled. It's like a continuous present. So be filled now, but keep on being filled. It's to be an ongoing, continuous experience. But what does it mean? What does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? Well, what does it mean to be drunk with wine? Paul's comparing and contrasting the two. When you're drunk with, I'm not speaking from experience by the way, when you're drunk with wine, you are under the influence of alcohol. The alcohol affects your thinking. The alcohol affects your speech. The alcohol affects your actions. When you're drunk with wine, if you're drunk with wine, you are under the mastery of that. It begins to affect you and control you. And so it is with the filling of the Spirit in the other way, if you like. The Holy Spirit, when you are filled with the Spirit, it means you are under His influence. You are under His control. You are directed by Him and guided by Him so that He affects your speech and your thoughts and your feelings and your actions. And so being filled with the Spirit means being controlled by the Spirit under His influence. When you're filled with the Spirit, it's not that you get more of Him, although perhaps it does mean that in a way, but it means that He gets more of you. He controls more of you, more part of your life, more of your will, more of every part of your being. That's what it means, to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit, to be filled with Him. So the more we yield and surrender to His control, the more He fills us. That's the secret to being filled. The more I give to the Holy Spirit and let Him rule my life, the more He can permeate my life and He lives through me. An advert was put in a Lonely Hearts section of a newspaper which said, gentleman farmer seeks lady with tractor with view to companionship and possible marriage. Please send picture of tractor. And some of us would rather like the nice bits, and we don't like the bits that we're not so keen on. And some of us would like to be filled with the Spirit without being controlled by the Spirit. We'd like the filling, but we don't like the sense of surrender or being yielded to Him. It doesn't work like that. There are no shortcuts to this. two hairdressers were in competition in the same street. And one had a poster outside which said, "Special offer, haircuts, £2, cheapest in the county." Down the road, the next hairdresser had a poster outside which said, "We fix £2 haircuts." And people are always looking for quick fixes, aren't they? It's natural. We always want something that just makes a shortcut. But actually, you get what you put in. And so, if I want to be filled with the Spirit, I need to be yielded to Him. I need to let the Holy Spirit take control. And that means, and I've written in my notes a list of things, it means control of our wills, of our thinking, of our words and actions, of our motives, of our desires, of our appetites, passions, of our habits, of our plans, of our money, and the list could go on. What control does He have? Does He have more? Does He need more control of my life? Not just on Sundays, but every part, every time, every moment of the day. In your home, especially in your home, in your workplace, are you filled with the Spirit? Am I filled with the Spirit? My workplace, in my times of relaxation, am I filled with the Spirit? In my personal life? Some of you will know the name Alan Redpath, preacher of the, going back into the 1960s, 70s, and real blessed speaker. And he once said this. He said, "The mark of the Spirit-filled Christian life should be a question mark." In other words, people should be looking at a Christian and asking, "What's his secret? Why does he do that? Why does she react like that? How does she control herself in that situation? How do they cope with that situation like they do? Why does she behave?" The Spirit-filled life, the mark of every Christian life, should be a question mark. That's the difference the Holy Spirit makes. When the extraordinary power of the Holy Spirit fills and controls you. That's what makes a Christian life worth living. And so it's a command to be filled with the Spirit, for every believer to be filled, not just for a few occasions. It's to be ongoing, not just for certain times or certain occasions. But then there's another aspect of the filling of the Spirit that I want to think about. You see, although there's to be an ongoing filling of the Holy Spirit, that's to be moment by moment in our experience, there are times when God gives a new filling, a special filling of the Holy Spirit. And I think that this is often overlooked. An example of this, and here we're going to look at a couple of examples in the Acts of the Apostles. If you turn to Acts chapter 4 and verse 7 and 8. Acts 4, 7 and 8. "And when they had set them in the midst and asked, 'By what power or by what name have you done this?' Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers of the people and elders of Israel,'" and so on. Peter had just been arrested by the Jewish authorities for preaching about Jesus and about the resurrection. And he's on trial, if you like, and he's before them. And standing up, Peter said, filled with the Spirit, he boldly witnessed. Now, Peter had been filled at Pentecost with the Spirit. And presumably, he continued to be filled. But for this particular occasion, he experienced a fresh infilling of the Spirit so that he could witness with boldness, so that he could stand and boldly testify. And then later on in the chapter, verse 31, Acts 4, verse 31, And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. So Peter and John had been arrested and then questioned. Peter had spoken and was filled with the Spirit for that, and then he was released. And then they and threatened not to tell anybody about what they've been talking about, Jesus. And so then he meets, and Peter John meets with the other disciples, and they're praying for boldness, and they are filled again. There's a new infilling. So even though Peter was filled at Pentecost, and then later was filled again with the Spirit when speaking to the Jewish leaders, here there's a new filling as the Christians join together, because again they're feeling threatened, and God meets their need. Now, had they grieved the Holy Spirit in the meantime so that somehow they'd lost that filling? No. No indication of that. They were still filled with the Spirit at this point, but they received a new filling. And then Acts chapter 13 and verse 9. Acts 13 and verse 9. Same thing happened to the Apostle Paul. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, "Oh, full of deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease from perverting the straight ways of the Lord?" So here's Paul. He's speaking to a guy called Elymas, a magician. And he's pronouncing a sort of judgment on him in order to do this for this particular situation. And given the insight that he needs, he receives a new filling. And then just go back one more to Acts chapter 6, verse 5. And here we read of a man called Stephen. Acts 6, verse 5, just the first part of that verse, it says, "And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit." So they recognize that here was a man who was characterized by the fullness of the Spirit. But what happened to Stephen? He was dragged, wasn't he, before the Jewish authorities. And he gave testimony to who Christ was. And at the end of that, the Jewish authorities turned against him. Just turn to Acts 7, verse 54. And I'll read through to the 58. Acts 7, 54. "When they," the Jewish authorities, "heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, 'Look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God.' Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears and ran at him with one accord, and they cast him out of the city and stoned him." You see, Stephen was given a new infilling for martyrdom, for execution. The Holy Spirit came upon Stephen that enabled him to face the awfulness of being stoned to death. He had a special filling. By the way, that's a reminder perhaps when we're praying for people even today who for their faith will be called to die because of their faith. We can pray for this, that God would give them a new filling of the Spirit to face that. You think, "I'll never be able to face that." No, you won't, unless you're filled with the Spirit. And what this teaches is that though the filling of the Spirit is meant to be continuous, an experience that goes on and on, there are times in our Christian lives when, because of the need that we're facing, because of the challenge that we're facing, or because of our deep need, our spiritual need, God brings a new filling of His Spirit. It means this, that you and I can trust Him, whatever it is we're facing, whatever challenge we're facing. And it might be something as mundane as a hard exam that we're just dreading. Or it may be a difficult interview that we're facing. Or it may be a relationship that we know we've got to deal with, a difficult relationship. Or it may be a habit that we know we've just got to deal with, we've got to break. It may be all sorts of things like that, a difficult decision we're facing. But whatever it is, you can trust God that He will give you the filling of the Spirit that you need for that situation. It means that even though you may feel, well, I don't think there's anything more. I feel that I'm walking with God. But God knows what your special need will be tomorrow and the day after and the day after that. There's no need to fear anything. There's no need to run away from anything, because God's Spirit is there and He will meet your need as you trust in Him. You know, one of the great examples of this, I think it's probably the greatest example, is the life of Jesus. Do you know there came a time when Jesus was especially filled with the Spirit? You say, wasn't He filled with the Spirit all the time? Well, yes, He was. But it came at His baptism. And it came there, in it's recorded, Luke chapter 3 and verse 21. Here it is, Luke 3:21. When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while He prayed, the heaven was opened. And the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon Him. And a voice came from heaven which said, "You are My beloved Son. In you I am well pleased." So the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus like a dove at His baptism. And then look what it says in chapter 4, verse 1. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And chapter 4, verse 14. Then Jesus returned. This was after the temptation in the wilderness. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. You say, but wasn't Jesus always filled with the Spirit? Well, yes, He was. Wasn't a time when He wasn't filled with the Spirit. But for His ministry, the new ministry that God had called Him for, He was especially equipped with a new infilling of the Holy Spirit. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones put it like this: our Lord at the age of 30 was setting out on His ministry, and because He had become a man and was living in this world as a man, though He was still the eternal Son of God, He needed to receive the Spirit in His fullness, and God gave Him the Spirit. And Jesus confirmed it, didn't He? Chapter 4, verse 18, He stood up and said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon Me, because He has anointed Me to preach the gospel to the poor." Every time I come to preach, I'm praying for that anointing of the Holy Spirit, a new infilling of the Spirit. It's interesting, from that time on, the gospel writers began to say, and not before then, but the gospel writers began to speak of Jesus being full of the Spirit, or being led by the Spirit, or walking in the power of the Spirit. So here's the thing. Even though a person is filled with the Spirit and is right with God and yielded to the Holy Spirit's control, they can still experience greater filling. And we need to experience greater filling. I love what D.L. Moody said once when questioned by a lady after a service, who sort of disdainfully said, "Why do we need to be filled with the Spirit?" And he said, "Well, I don't know about you, but I leak." And we do, don't we? We do leak. We do lose that filling. But you know, even though we might not leak, there are times and challenges we face and situations we face. And sometimes it just might be that God wants to do a deeper work in your life, that we hunger for more. We long for that deeper work of the Holy Spirit, a greater filling of the Holy Spirit. Well, friends, I believe Jesus gives us a mandate to seek that, to pray for that. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, we've sometimes turned to this, but Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 9, Jesus said, "And I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened." And then he goes on to say, "If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Now, the disciples, they had this Holy Spirit. They had him in measure. But Jesus is saying, look, pray for more. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. That's the mandate, to seek to be filled with the Spirit in a new way. I think I found an illustration that I found helpful is that of a reservoir. And a reservoir, as you know, is filled up due to the rain falling. But the rain falls in the catchment area, the rain then seeps into the ground and fills up the water courses, and the water table rises, and the water through different channels makes its way down to the reservoir. And so there's this ongoing, steady filling of the reservoir. That's how the reservoir is normally filled, through the steady ingress, if you like, of the water, the inflow of the water through the water courses. That's the picture of the ongoing filling of the Spirit. That's the normal, if you like, the ongoing fill of the Holy Spirit. But for any reservoir, there are times when over that catchment area there are intense floods. There is intense rain. And not only does the water seep down, but it gushes through and along channels on the surface. And because of the intensity of the rain, it fills up. The reservoir can actually rise quite rapidly. And that illustrates those times when the Holy Spirit goes beyond the normal. And there is a deeper filling or a greater filling because of those special occasions that are needed. Why does he do that? Well, it may be to prepare for a particular task that you're facing. It may be a time of spiritual dedication where God works in your heart and he wants a deeper dedication, if you like, a deeper consecration, and it might be a bit of a crisis. I suppose it's a bit like a balloon in a way. You know, you blow a balloon up and it's full of air, you say, it's full of air. But actually then you sort of blow a bit more and it fills more. If you blow too much, it'll pop. That's where the illustration breaks down. But if you can be full of the Spirit. But then for a certain special occasion, God gives you, or a certain need, God gives you a new infilling. Now when that happens, experiences vary enormously. And I've read lots of biographies of godly men and women. And they speak of special times. And often those special times come when the Holy Spirit fills in a special way, when nothing outward happens inwardly, if you like. In terms of, you don't feel anything, there's no extra feelings. I don't think Peter, when he stood up to speak, felt any differently. I don't think he suddenly felt great and filled with the love of God in a new way. But he was the filling was seen in his boldness. It was in the outworking. It might be just in the way that in a certain situation you show a greater love that is beyond you, or a greater patience, or a greater self-control. Whatever it is, it might be in a way that you react or act when you're provoked in a certain way, and it's as though the Holy Spirit has equipped you for that. That's the filling. That's the new filling. But sometimes there is a deep stirring of the heart. There is a deep effect on the emotions. There is a new, fresh experience of the love of God that fills your heart. Some people, and I think actually some people mistake that for what they call the baptism of the Spirit. I would say it's the filling of the Spirit. I really believe there is one baptism when we are saved and put into the body of Christ, but there are many fillings. And sometimes that can come in such a powerful way. It affects you, and you're given a new understanding of God's love, and it fills your heart, and it warms your heart. And I love it when people share their experiences. And people have done that with me over the years. And I listen. And of course, the first test is, does it match up with the Word of God? But then the next tests are this. Well, does it result in greater holiness of life? And does it lead to greater love for Jesus? And does it help me to be a greater witness? And if it does, then I will rejoice and I praise God for those experiences that people have, even if those experiences go beyond mine. Because I can't put the Holy Spirit in a box, and I can't say, you can't have that because I've never experienced it. We must never, ever limit the Holy Spirit in that way. And I believe that our aim, brothers and sisters in Christ, should be to seek and experience all that God has for us. For more of Christ. Don't seek an experience. Seek more of Christ. Seek more of his power. Seek more of his love to fill you. Seek more of the empowerment for witness. Let me read this from John Stott. And I just want then to bring this to a close and lead us to a time where we ask for the Holy Spirit's fullness. John Stott said this in his book, The Baptism and Fullness of the Holy Spirit. All Christians can expect fresh experiences of God. God is no lover of staleness and stagnation. He promises that his mercies will be new every morning and puts in our heart and in our mouths a new song because he means our knowledge of him to be new. Sometimes he floods our hearts with such a tidal wave of his love that we almost ask him to stay his hand, lest we be drowned by it. Sometimes our hearts burn within us as Christ opens to us the scriptures. And we see him in the scriptures as we have never seen him before. Sometimes we experience a quickening of our spiritual pulse, a leaping of our heart, a kindling of our love for God and man, a pervading sense of peace and well-being. Sometimes in the dignified reverence of public worship, or in the spontaneous fellowship of a home meeting, or at the Lord's table, or in private prayer, invisible reality overwhelms us. Time stands still. We step into a new dimension of eternity. We become still and know that God is God. We fall down before him and worship him. I do believe that God gives longings to our hearts. I do believe he gives us holy dissatisfaction with what we have. What we've experienced. God puts in our hearts desires to seek for more of him, to do a new thing. And I would urge you, friends, to do that. Let me quote Spurgeon. He said this, "Aspire to be something more than the mass of church members. Lift up your cry to God and beseech him to fire you with a nobler ambition than that which possesses the common Christian. that you may be found faithful unto God at the last, and may win many crowns for your Lord and Master Christ. If God wants you to have all that he wants you to have, and he puts in your heart that, then this is a message for you. Maybe God's calling for a new consecration. Maybe a new cleansing. Maybe a new step of faith. If he's put something in your heart, a hunger for more, it may be that because you're going to face something where you will need that, like Stephen. Always remember this. The old saying is so true, isn't it? What I give, he takes. And what he takes, he cleanses. And what he cleanses, he fills. And what he fills, he uses. So it begins with what I give. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door will be opened unto you. So I would say, ask, seek, knock, plead, pray, yearn, hunger, thirst. Don't give in, don't give up. Because God wants to bring the fullness of the Spirit. Confess your dryness to God. Maybe some have come feeling dry. Maybe some have come feeling detached from God in some way. Not really communing with him. Not really knowing that deep personal fellowship. Confess that to him. Trust in him. Not until you've had some wonderful experience, but until you have the assurance that you are filled, that he's met that need. Jesus said, didn't he? Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. So let's just be quiet. We're going to just wait on the Lord again. And each one will know the things that God's been speaking to you about. And it may be that you need, you're aware of a need. Maybe a situation you're facing and you know that you need a special filling of the Spirit. Then you ask for that in faith. Or it may just be that you're so desperate. You're so hungry, so thirsty for the God of love to fill your heart with all of his fullness. And you seek that.